Chag Sameach, everyone. You're all tired. I'm sick of hearing my voice. So we're going to make this short, but I hope it'll be good. One of the great questions that emerges from the Seder, and I think we take it for granted. In fact, I don't think that I know that. Is the message of the Seder behind the words. And the way of getting to the idea, I want to tell you a story. It comes by way of Stalinist Russia. The story emerges in the middle 1930s in the Soviet Union. It's the story of a 13-year-old boy named Pavlik Morozov. Pavlik became an icon in Stalinist communist Russia to the point where they erected statues in his memory, in his name. They named schools after him. They made plays about him. And then they made documentaries about him. So who was Pavlik Morozov? Pavlik Morozov was a 13-year-old boy who lived in one of the regions far outside of Moscow. I think it was about 300 kilometers southwest of Yekaterinburg. Do not ask me where that is. I just know this from a book. And Pavlik's father was one of the local communist officials. And we're not entirely sure what the story is, because the story of Pavlik Morozov is fascinating. There are different versions of what brings the story to its denouement, but the story roughly goes like this. Something happens with his father. Pavlik then goes to the communist authorities above his father and turns his father in. The communist authorities come, take his father and send him away to hard labor in some camp. Later on, one story goes that his father actually was, that they changed the gzardin. They changed the sentence against him, and they made it a sentence of death. And they ended up executing him by a firing squad. Other versions of the story have it that by Pavlik turning his father in, that they also killed his mother by execution. Another version of the story goes that after he turned his father in, that his own family ended up murdering him. The story has lots of waves to it, as you can see, a lot of different versions. Another element of this story is that it's really not true. That it was a story based upon a loose idea of something that may have happened in a small town somewhere, and then it was built upon and augmented by the Stalinist authorities as a way of communicating a story to the greater Soviet republics. And what was the greatest story? To be fair, it wasn't just Stalin's idea. Plato famously said that if you want to build a strong state, what you need to do is break up families. And what Plato said, what would replace the families are first and foremost the army. It's interesting, we also have subgroups. You hear people even in sports talking about this. You know, they skate or play for the guy next to them. It's my family. The same things you hear in the army too. They call each other my brother. You know, the commander is like a father figure. There's similarities in this. And Plato says that the way that you build a strong society is by taking apart the families, and then people transfer the love of family to the army, to the society, and so forth and so on. And you probably sense what I'm getting at here is that one of the great elements of what takes place at the Seder is the exact opposite of this. That the story of the Seder, and I would argue Judaism in a very, very large sense, is a story not of placing the family against society, but on some level is the idea of how you build a better society from, in fact, families. So what is the story, in fact, that we read? Now, you read the Haggadah last night, But the story that we read actually in the first and second chapters of the book of Exodus, of Sefer Shemot, points in a very clear direction. It tells us, first of all, in the opening verses of the first chapter of the book of Exodus, that Jacob goes down to Egypt along with his family, Ish Ubeito, the man and his home. Him and his family go down. Later on in the second chapter of the book of Exodus, we hear about the birth of Moshe, of Moses. And it says, Vayelech Ish mi Beit Levi, and a man came from a Levite family. Over and over again, you hear the words of family being spoken, embedded deeply inside of the story. And the story we read and we sit at the Seder is a story of not only a people, but of families leaving. Jewish tradition says that as the Israelites departed Egypt, they went according to their tribes. In other words, they went according to their families. That's how they left. The reinforcing idea woven over and over again is the idea of stories and of families. But here's the fascinating element of it. When we tell the story of the creation of our nation, the great meta-narrative of what it means to be a Jew and where the Jews came from, where don't we go and tell the story? We don't gather in town squares. We don't go to shuls. We sit and tell the story with our families. The idea is the exact opposite of what Plato and what Stalin thought, and others too, that you build a strong nation by making weak families. The Jewish argument is that you build a great people by building great families. It starts first and foremost with the family. We gather around our Seder tables, family and friends and strangers who maybe a moment ago you didn't know their name and now they're a friend and they're like family to you. We sit down, we bring the youngest first. And we ask our children to sit down, and they don't tell us the story. They ask the questions to lead us to the story. Because the way that you build good families is not by a postmodernist notion that everyone is equal and everyone is the same, and that what a young person says matters and is as truthful as what an 80-year-old says. Judaism says that's not how you build a good family. You build strong families by reminding children that those who are older than them, those who come before them, have important things to say and to teach them. That experience and history is something that they cannot ignore. And they should be quiet after they ask the questions to listen to the answers of what those who have came before have to tell them. Now, this has been turned upside down. And I suspect in no small measure the reason why it's been turned upside down is because of technology. I'll explain why. The late, sadly late, and wonderful American rabbi Harold Kushner once told me, I met him at a convention, and he shared the story with me. He said that he had to transfer a file from his computer to another computer. Now, this is a while ago. And he didn't know what to do. So he asked his daughter, and his daughter said, I can't help you. She says, why don't you call your grandson? So he calls his grandson, who's maybe 8 or 9 years old, and he goes, oh, Zadie, you need a thumb drive. And he takes a thumb drive and he puts it into the computer and he clicks and drags the file over and he pulls the thumb drive out and he gives it to Rabbi Kushner and he says, oh, here, now you just give this to the person. The mistake that has emerged in society as a result of technology is the idea and belief that knowing how to do things is an argument about wisdom, but it's not. Utilitarianism is not wisdom. Knowing how to do things is not experience. And we sit at the Seder table and we are reminded, particularly now more than ever, that there is a story that exists beyond what people may think they know. that needs to be heard again. Elie Wiesel, in his autobiography, it's actually two volumes. It's called All the Waters Run Flow to the Sea, but the Sea is Never Full. He tells the following story when his family was, when the Germans came into his town in Sziget in Hungary. And the way that he says that the way the Germans were so successful in getting people to go onto the trains was that they would announce that they would keep families together. And that the Jews would come out, husbands and wives, grandparents, aunts and uncles, children, holding their hands, relieved that they would stay together. Of course, they didn't know that once the train arrived somewhere, they would be torn apart. The paradox, of course, is, and Passover puts it clearly at your feet, is that what people thought was our weakness is our strength, our families. Chag Sameach, everyone.